Our speaker today is Dr. William Pierce, the chairman of the National Alliance, which is the world's foremost organization working for the long-term interest of white Americans and for people of European ancestry wherever they may live.
Hello. If you've been listening to many of my broadcasts, you will know that the issue I talk about most often is that of media control. In nearly every broadcast, I have pointed out that the people who control the mass media of news and entertainment are able to manipulate the opinions and attitudes of about 95% of the population. I have pointed out that the media bosses do this manipulation deliberately and in collusion with one another, taking advantage of the compelling need most people have to conform their ideas and their behavior to a perceived norm. The media bosses use their control over the mass media of entertainment, and to a lesser extent over the news media, to create an artificial norm that is presented to the public through television, motion pictures, advertising, and other media. And this artificial norm is the one perceived as real by most of the public. Through their control of public opinion, the media bosses also control the democratic political process and governmental policy in a way that is advantageous to them and disadvantageous to the white public. And these media bosses are overwhelmingly Jews. This has been the message I have presented over and over again in many of these broadcasts. I've talked about different facets of Jewish media control and have presented different specifics, different details in various broadcasts. I've discussed a number of different Hollywood films or television shows as specific examples of the way in which the Jews use their media control to brainwash the public, to promote fashions and styles and behavior that are harmful to our people, but that advance the long-term schemes of the Jews to further dominate and exploit our society. I've talked about specific Jews who control various segments of the mass media, and I've pointed out specific instances of the destructive way in which they use their control. I've talked about the Jewish media boss Sumner Redstone and his control of MTV and CBS and the Hollywood film studio Paramount Pictures. I've talked about the Jewish media boss Michael Eisner and his control of the Disney Company and ABC. I've talked about the Jewish media boss Gerald Levin and his control of Time Warner and CNN. I've talked about the Jewish media boss Edgar Bronfman and his control of the largest segment of the popular music industry and Universal Studios in Hollywood. And I've talked about dozens of other Jewish media bosses and the media they control and the specific ways in which they use those media. In particular, during the past few months, I've talked about several recent Hollywood films which deliberately target teenaged white girls and brainwash them with the notion that it is fashionable for them to have sex with black males. And of course, I've talked about the Jewish control of the news media as well as the entertainment media, in a way similar to their use of the entertainment media to set fashions. The Jewish media bosses distort and censor the news in order to give the public a distorted picture of what is happening in the world. I've given several very specific examples of this Jewish management of the news in recent months. I've talked about the total blackout at the national level of the news of the atrocious rape and massacre of whites in Wichita, Kansas, by blacks last December. And I've talked about the almost total suppression of the news of the black racial attacks on whites in Seattle in the Mardi Gras riot at the end of February this year. I also talked about the downplaying of the racial aspects of the black rioting in Cincinnati in April of this year, about the failure of the news media outside the immediate Cincinnati area to mention the deliberate targeting of whites, especially white women, by the black rioters, and I described the gross distortions in the news coverage of the racial politics in York, Pennsylvania, that led to the current white mayor of York being charged in May with the killing of a black during a black race riot in York 32 years ago. I have pointed out repeatedly how all of this suppression of the news and distortion of the news is aimed at creating and maintaining a false picture in the public mind of racial conflict in the United States. In this false picture, whites always are the aggressors, blacks or other non-whites are the innocent victims, and the root of all racial conflict is white racism. In a number of my broadcasts, I've discussed at length why the Jews do what they do, why they use their media control in such a deceptive and destructive way, what their motives are. I've also talked about how they collaborate. I've pointed out that their propaganda policies are not formulated independently, but that they have a coherent party line that they all follow. I've given a number of specific examples of this. Well, all of these things that I've talked about have not gone unnoticed by the Jewish media bosses themselves. When people expose their activities or their scheming, they pay attention. In particular, they've been paying attention to these American Distant Voices broadcasts and to the work of my organization, the National Alliance. They read what's on our websites at natvan.com and natall.com and resistance.com, and they talk about it among themselves. This shows up pretty clearly in the uniform way in which their media respond to us, whether it's the Associated Press or Time Magazine or the Washington Post or a television news commentator anywhere in the United States. They always use the same phrasing in talking about us. They always use the term hate in referring to us. They always say that the National Alliance is the most dangerous organized hate group in America, despite the fact that all we do is disseminate to the public the truth about what they're doing. That's what they regard as dangerous and as hate. If you want to see a current indicator of the fact that they do think about us, go to the website promoting Steven Spielberg's new movie, AI. There you'll see a parody of a part of the National Alliance's website in the form of a page headed, "Who is the Anti-Robot Militia?" It's obviously copied almost word for word from the page, "Who is the National Alliance?" on our website. It's difficult for me to understand what they hoped to accomplish with this parody. Perhaps they believe that it will make people take us less seriously. Somewhat less quirky, but much more directly deceptive, are their standard smokescreen responses. It used to be that whenever I would raise the issue of Jewish monopoly control of the mass media of news and entertainment during an interview or on a call-in program, I would hear the response from a Jew or an apologist for the Jews, "What about Ted Turner? He's not a Jew," as if that negated everything I had said. Of course, that response was used before Ted Turner's CNN was taken over by the very Jewish Time Warner. And now that Ted Turner has been eased out of all decision-making positions in the cable news network he built and has been replaced by Jews, one doesn't hear the Ted Turner response any longer. The standard responses today, the ones I hear as often as I used to hear the Ted Turner response, are the "it's the shareholders" and "it's the big bankers." Whenever I start naming names, whenever I begin talking about the control over the media wielded by Michael Eisner or Sumner Redstone, for example, a Jew will pop up with the response, "Those guys don't control the media. It's the shareholders who control the media. Eisner and Redstone are just employees. The shareholders tell them what to do." A variation on this theme is, Eisner and Redstone don't own the media. It's the big banks that own all of the media, and most of the big bankers are Gentiles. Well, of course, that's not really true, and they know it's not true. The big Jewish media bosses are mostly quite autonomous. Sumner Redstone, for example, owns outright two-thirds of the shares in his media empire. His personal fortune is more than $12 billion, according to Forbes magazine this month. I'm quite sure he doesn't check with any shareholders before he dreams up some new piece of race-mixing filth for MTV. As for Gentile bankers telling the Jewish media bosses what kind of propaganda they must produce for the public, that's total nonsense. I haven't yet done a study of the investment banking industry to determine what percentage of Jews and what percentage of Gentiles are involved in it. But one thing that's certain is that the Gentile bankers would faint dead away at the thought of telling Jewish media bosses such as Michael Eisner, or the Sulzberger family, or the Newhouses, or Sumner Redstone to cut back on the race-mixing propaganda. Gentile bankers as a class are rich, deracinated capons whose only interest is money. Every Jewish propaganda medium, CBS, or MTV, or Time magazine, or the New York Times, is staffed from top to bottom with Jews, and they all know what they're doing. They work as a tribe, as a swarm of termites gnawing at the foundations of our existence. There is total agreement among the media Jews as to the general thrust of their propaganda. They may disagree on many of the details. They may even compete against each other for a bigger slice of the media pie. But all agree on the general goals of degrading and subverting Gentile civilization, of corrupting Gentile institutions, of mongrelizing our race. Again, the Jews work as a tribe, and that is the source of their strength and their success. Gentile bankers, on the other hand, work only for themselves. They would not dream of combining and using their financial strength to protect our people from the Jews. They are terrified of the Jews, of the media. The more money they have, the more selfish and the more cowardly they are. The huge difference, the decisive difference between the Jews and our people is that they work as a tribe and we work as individuals. They work together, rich Jews and poor Jews, for their common tribal interests against us. And until now, we have failed to organize effectively to defend ourselves against them. Anyway, my point is that their defense against my exposure of their activities and their power over our government is orchestrated. That is, they've all gotten together and decided what their defense will be, and it's a deliberate lie. As I continue to expose the destructive activities of the Jewish media bosses, you will continue to hear them and their apologists respond that they don't really have any power, that it's the Gentile shareholders and the Gentile bankers who control the media. A lot of dimwits will believe that lie. A lot of couch potatoes, a lot of soccer moms, a lot of baseball fans, a lot of lemmings will believe that it's not the Jew Sumner Redstone who deliberately uses MTV to corrupt white teenagers. Instead, it's some cabal of Gentile shareholders and Gentile bankers who tell him what to do, and Redstone is only an employee who follows their orders. I think it's time for us to orchestrate our exposure of the Jewish media. I think it's about time for the public, lemmings and all, to begin hearing a uniform charge against them, a uniform statement of our opposition to them. How about this? The Jews are our misfortune. That's simple, and it's true, and it's easy to remember. Repeat after me. The Jews are our misfortune. Let's use that statement. Let's let everyone hear it. Let's impress it on everyone's consciousness. The Jews are our misfortune. Of course, when I say the Jews are our misfortune, I'm not talking only about the Jewish media bosses. I'm not talking only about the Jews at the top, such as Sumner Redstone and the Salzburgers and Michael Eisner and the others who formulate and direct the propaganda line against Gentile society. I'm talking about the whole tribe, and I believe that message comes across in the statement, the Jews are our misfortune. Let me tell you what the standard lemming response will be to that statement, the response that they have been taught and will parrot back. First, from the religious lemmings, it will be something like this. Oh, no, the Jews aren't our misfortune. We owe everything to the Jews. Don't you know that Jesus was a Jew and God was his father? That makes God a Jew. We must do what the Jews tell us. They are God's people. I'm sure that argument is embarrassing to some of the more sophisticated apologists for the Jews, but many Christian fundamentalists use it, and I've heard it often. From the secular lemmings, it will be more like, don't you know that Freud and Einstein and Salk were Jews? We wouldn't have a space program if it weren't for Einstein. We wouldn't have a cure for polio if it weren't for Salk. The Jews are our fortune, not our misfortune. Well, of course, our space program has practically nothing to do with Einstein or his Jewishness. Gentile thinkers envisioned it and pioneered both its theoretical basis and its practical development. The German theoretician Hermann Oberth and the Russian Konstantin Tsiolkovsky were two of the Gentiles who independently demonstrated mathematically the feasibility of space travel in the early years of the last century. The American rocket pioneer Robert Goddard and the German Wernher von Braun designed actual rockets and built the vehicles which were the precursors of today's spaceships. Jews didn't become involved in it until it became glamorous and profitable. And the development of a polio vaccine hardly would have missed a beat if Jonas Salk had gone into the garment business instead of medicine. He was one of a team, and he got the credit for the work of others as well as for his own work. The reasons we hear these silly and groundless claims in the first place about how much we owe the Jews, the reasons are Jewish media control and Jewish tribalism, Jewish support for their own. Freud was given the enormous buildup he received for his theorizing about anal personalities and penis envy and the like because he was a Jew, not because of any genuine merit in his theorizing. Other Jewish writers recognized him as one of their own and propelled him to a position of undeserved authority. And his theories ultimately did an enormous amount of damage to the development of our understanding of psychology and mental disease. Einstein was a competent mathematical physicist, but a great deal of the publicity he received was based on the fact that he was a Jew rather than on the merits of his work. As in the case of Salk, Jewish publicists gave Einstein credit for the work of others as well as for his own work. What we must do is look at the balance sheet. Is the damage done to our race by Karl Marx and all of his Jewish followers in the communist movement, the selective murder of more than 30 million of the best of our people in Europe during the past century, offset by whatever contributions Einstein and Salk and other Jews have made, even if they did everything their Jewish boosters claim for them? Certainly, there have been many other Jews who were competent and creative engineers and scientists besides Einstein and Salk. Not every clever Jew became a lawyer, or a scriptwriter, or a pawn shop owner, or a middleman. Some became chemists, or mathematicians, or physicists. But can all of them together make up for the mass murders Lazar Kaganovich perpetrated against the Ukrainians? For the rapes and murders of German civilians instigated by Ilya Ehrenberg? For the Eastern European girls still being forced into sexual slavery on a huge scale today by Israeli slave dealers? I think not. And I have not yet put on the balance sheet what the Jewish masters of America's mass media have done and are doing to us. What can possibly compensate white Americans for the deliberate, malevolent corruption of our young people by just one Jewish gangster like Sumner Redstone and his MTV? The race-mixing, culture-destroying, hip-hop filth churned out by Sumner Redstone's MTV 7 days a week is the single most destructive influence in American life today. And, of course, Redstone doesn't produce this filth all by himself. He has thousands of Jews working for him at every level, not only in MTV, but also in CBS and in Paramount Pictures and in all of his other media properties. And although MTV, targeting white teenagers as it does, may seem the most blatantly and maliciously destructive of the Jewish media, it is hardly much worse than some of the filth being poured into the minds of the American public by Michael Eisner's Disney empire, especially by its Miramax Films division under the Weinstein brothers. The fact that much of the entertainment produced by Eisner's Disney company is relatively innocuous does not compensate for the fact that some of it is pure poison. The poison is being introduced gradually, more and more each year, and it is having its effect. When the Disney company was entirely a Gentile company a few years ago, its output of entertainment may sometimes have been excessively bland, but none of it was poison designed to corrupt white Americans. And what can possibly compensate on our balance sheet for what the Jewish news media are doing in their deliberate, calculated distortion of the picture of the world seen by the American public? It is a picture which has been designed to confuse white Americans, to undermine their self-confidence, to induce feelings of racial guilt in them. Just one example, the systematic suppression of the news of black crimes against white people, and the exaggeration of the news of every white crime against non-whites is not a fluke. It is done routinely by all of the Jewish news media, by the New York Times, by the Washington Post, by Time Magazine and Newsweek Magazine, by CNN and ABC News and CBS News and NBC News and all the rest. An interracial crime is just one issue. The relations between the sexes, immigration, the foreign relations of the United States with the rest of the world, especially in the Middle East, and 100 other important issues are similarly distorted in their portrayal by the media. This deliberate distortion of the public's view of the world has done irreparable damage to the American system of government and to American society. And again, the distortion has been deliberate, planned, systematic, and intended to do harm to us. No number of funny Jewish comedians or successful Jewish entrepreneurs in Silicon Valley or on Wall Street or clever Jewish medical researchers can compensate for this harm. When we look at the balance sheet, the conclusion is clear beyond any doubt. The Jews are our misfortune. It's way past time for us to accept this conclusion, to overcome our fears of being labeled anti-Semitic, for accepting this conclusion, to brush aside these fears which have been instilled in us by the propaganda of the mass media, and then to begin working to improve our fortunes. Thanks for being with me again today.
You have been listening to a presentation of American Dissident Voices. The speaker was Dr. William Pierce, chairman of the National Alliance. The program was sponsored as a public service by National Vanguard Books, America's foremost supplier of patriotic books and tapes. For $2, we'll send you our newest 72-page illustrated catalog with descriptions and ordering information for more than 600 books and tapes of interest to patriots. Many of the items in the National Vanguard Books catalog are available nowhere else. Our mailing address is National Vanguard Books, Post Office Box 90, Hillsboro, West Virginia, 24946, USA.